This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Peter Rosenberg!
Shout out to that guy, yes.
The majesty.
Oh, my goodness.
It's professional wrestling.
A 1,000% confirmed.
Not mage.
Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
It's still rooted.
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
I like a delicious chicken.
It was repug.
It's professional wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's number one sports and recreation podcast, Cheap Heat, is back Tuesday, March 5th. As we sit 1 month away, could it be from WrestleMania? Is that what's happening? Wow. And that means we are 1 month away also from Cheap Heat live in Philly. Actually, I guess a little bit less than 1 month away from Cheap Heat live in Philly. A few tickets left. Dip, it has changed now on Eventbrite. It now says few tickets left.
Selling fast to few tickets. One of the great transitions of our time.
Yeah, and it's so funny because every week I plug and I'm like, why do we keep plugging? It's so dumb, right? Like, everyone's heard it. It has to be done. Yet every time I look back after another week, we're up several more tickets. So we're still short of a sellout. We still have some room. It's going to be tremendous in there. Very, very excited about it. So make sure you go get your tickets on Eventbrite. And also, because I never remember to do this early in the podcast, and my producer, Andrew Goldstein, the great Andrew Goldstein, you may remember him from this show, has told me that the listener retention that we have on the Over the Top podcast is like outstanding. Everyone who comes to Over the Top sticks around and listens to every episode in full.
Been trying to tell y'all it's a great show. Have I not, P?
No, and you know, there's no one less biased when it comes to Peter Rosenberg content than Stat Guy Greg.
No.
This is not a man.
I lie to myself. I don't lie to the people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I would love for people to go check out what we're doing over there and Over the Top. We do always at least hit like a wrestling story, but it's more a pop culture thing. It is certainly not your Cheap Heat replacement. But let's not waste any time with cheap plugs and things of that nature, which we already did. Let's say hello to the physically large Stat Guy Greg in Philadelphia.
Hello from the home of, I was going to say WrestleMania 40, but let's be real. From the home of Cheap Heat Live.
It's a great point.
Few tickets left on Eventbrite. If you follow me on Instagram, the link is in my bio. If you follow Rosenberg on Instagram, you can find me. You don't have to follow, but that link is in my bio to get your tickets.
And what about to Brian Dipperstein in California? Hey, how are you?
I'm loving wrestling, and I'm thinking it is great. More and more every week.
Really? Yeah, you're not loving it more. I mean, well, this week
it depends on where he started at. What was the starting point? It could be more after this.
It's a great point. And this week, it's hard to not be loving it more because there's a lot to talk about this week. And I think before anything, we have to salute the Sting send-off at Revolution this past Sunday, which I have to tell you was a great time. I thoroughly enjoyed myself, had a couple of peckerheads over to enjoy the festivities. Wings were consumed. Dip, not Dipperstein, was eaten. Beverages were drunken, I believe is the proper way to say it. And I have to tell you, even though I didn't fall asleep until after 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I didn't feel the need to complain because I had a great time. Number one, the Sting send-off match I thought was a ball. And number two, I think the Ospreay match was one of my favorite
matches. You used the word masterpiece.
Match.
You used the word masterpiece. No, that's not walk it back for the people.
Did I say that?
You did.
Where did I say that?
There's a text.
Oh, I did. Oh, really?
Masterpiece.
It was a masterpiece. And for all the times when Dipperstein, I think in the past has oversaid, like he'll point out a random match on Dynamite and see, this is wrestling. That was, if you want to see what awesome, high intensity, high flying, lots of planned, ridiculous, but beautifully done moments. If you want to see it done the right way, guys, that to me was how you do it. That was a really fun match. And when it got to the spot where it should end, he hits the back-to-back finishes. And I thought it was a work of art. Dip, did you like it as much as I did?
I did. I had a few peckerheads also over to watch, because it's, we sit down, you enjoy the actual in-ring wrestling. It's these big AEW events, like you said, are something that you have to you have to sort of pay close attention to. They're sort of unpredictable in my opinion sometimes, but everyone I was with was freaking out for the Will Ospreay match. I mean, that was Bed Bath and Beyond. The rest of the card was really fun too. We should talk about the Darby spot.
Presumably we shall, but I didn't want to give short shrift to the Ospreay match because
I've been a fan of this guy for a long time. The man is one of the greatest living wrestlers on earth. And when you give him 25 minutes to go out there, you are going to get the highest quality wrestling. You do not see that type of, WWE has far exceeded WWE or AEW in pretty much every sense of the word, you got to give credit where credit is due. You're not going to see that type of in-ring wrestling. You're not given that type of time, and you're not given that type of leeway to do that type of stuff in WWE, it appears. And, these guys are just allowed to go out there and take risks that you wouldn't necessarily see on WWE, for better or for worse. But it really was a sight to behold, that match. 5 stars.
Well, it sounds like it was for better in the case of that match.
Yeah.
In this case, it was absolutely for better. I don't always think of, and I won't go as far as calling it a spot fest, but spot festy, like Dip will love like a random match between the Young Bucks and, the Ass Boys and be like, this is what professional wrestling was destined to be. And I'm like, okay, it was fine. It was a nice match on a Wednesday, but it felt like an indie show. This was how you take super high level wrestling and do it in TV form and have it be just awesome. Not to mention, what's the name of Ospreay's finisher? That backhanded elbow to the head? Either of you remember?
I forget the name of it.
It is so mage, dude. It literally looks like he kills the opponent. He kills them with the last. Keep in mind, he did a Dragon Diver 91 first. Isn't that what it's called?
Tiger Driver.
Tiger Driver, Tiger not Driver. A dragon. You're the tiger. You're the dragon. Tiger Driver 91 first into. I got to look up what it's called. Into the elbow gimmick. It was, man. It was awesome. So So that match was a ball. There it is. The Stormbreaker. No, that's when he hoists his opponent onto his shoulders in a fireman's carry position, then drives them face first into the mat with incredible force. What's this one then? Could it be Hidden Blade?
I think it might be Hidden Blade.
See if you could. Hey, SUG, can you do me a favor? As the
no, I think it is the Hidden Blade.
I know, but you can't think. You're the professional statistician, for God's sake. I mean,
I'm retired. I'm just SGG. It's just initials now. Just
no, no, you're not
an aristocrat anymore.
Wait, you're saying you're like KFC?
I'm like KFC. I'm like Triple H. I'm like the great. Just initials now. But it is Hidden Blade.
It is Hidden Blade. That Hidden Blade thing is bonkers. I also enjoyed the Tony Storm title defense against Deonna Purrazzo. I got to tell you, there's been a lot of things I've not been enjoying, as I've been quite eloquent about with regard to AEW recently. The Tony Storm character to me has been really dope. And the whole cutting to black and white gimmick, I'm into it. I think it's well done. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it's actually different. And yeah, it was just mostly a solid, as it was back to their ways of having good pay-per-views. And the Ospreay thing really stands out to me because it is another opportunity. Will they capitalize? WWE, I believe, wanted Ospreay. He ended up signing, getting the money from Tony Khan, and he probably knew that maybe it was a better fit for him. It's another opportunity, just like, because think about, guys, when you go back to that Rampage where CM Punk debuted, think about the potential AEW had in that moment and how much of it sort of slipped away over the last couple of years. And now, at least in Ospreay, they have another thing to hang their hat on next to MJF. That's like, we have this. You're only getting this here. And how about this?
They're getting more pieces, by the way.
And by the way,
it's not stopping at Ospreay.
Yeah, they're going to get other pieces. But here's the thing that may separate him from the other pieces. Ospreay's like Kenny Omega, but can talk. All due respect to Kenny Omega.
Yeah, but it's, that's accurate.
You're not holding up bruv signs for Kenny Omega. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. there's a character. There's like this sort of cool lower middle class Brit character, plus wrestles ass off, plus has the Japanese style, bows at the end of his match. Like there's just a lot there. So hopefully they take advantage of it, and it's something fun for us to watch. Because listen, it may not be competition in the way that we all sort of initially maybe thought it could be, because WWE's business is such gangbusters right now that there's really no such thing as competition. But man, could we just get more good wrestling to watch every week? And I think Ospreay is a big opportunity.
Yeah, I was going to say, it might not be competition, but it's definitely diversification in what
diversification
is allowed to get and enjoy. Because, you know, it's something that we've said about WWE programming for a while, is that they have something for everybody. And this AEW also has a little bit of something for everybody, but it's all different from what you get literally really anywhere else.
I mean, look, a MJF versus Will Ospreay feud is what I'm looking forward to one day.
Let's hope that they get there correctly. Oh, and I will say, I did think, and obviously we're going to get to the Sting match in a second, but one other miss for AEW, I thought on Sunday, with all due respect to our guy, was I thought it was Swerve's house. I thought it was time. I think Samoa Joe has done a really nice job with the spot that he's been in, but like, wasn't it the perfect opportunity with a ton of eyeballs? Like, I heard from friends of ours, I heard from like Adam Conta, great guy, fellow lawyer in SGG's world.
Excellent attorney.
Excellent attorney. He was like, hey, this is my first time ordering an AEW pay-per-view. And I was like, wow, that's really funny, because it's not their best card, but the Sting thing brought eyeballs. That's a real thing people cared about. So Dip, I thought the moment was ripe to put the title on Swerve, who looks like a new star to me. And the crowd was so ready for it. It would have been another huge moment. And I know you don't chase moments, but in this case, I think it would have been a really good one that would have made sense.
I have no argument. I feel the exact same way. They should have done something. They should have done a Swerve, so to speak.
Pun intended.
No pun intended. Having him win the title. It was time. It was time. And like, I don't mind a short Joe title reign. We all know the belt's going back on MJF at a certain point. So, you know, I think they'll get to Swerve being champion at a certain point, but it would have been sort of surprising and made for great television at the same time if Swerve would have won with all those Sting eyeballs on that pay-per-view. I couldn't agree more. I have no argument against that.
Yeah, it was a fun match. I recommend it. Paige was good. They were all very good. But there was a moment there where I thought Swerve might go over, and I was like, oh, wait a second. And the second Swerve came out, and, you know, Nana comes out with the dancers at the pay-per-views, which I love. And then Swerve walks out, and man, that guy looks like a star. I'm telling you right now, guys, is there any chance that this guy doesn't end up getting a big bag from Triple H at some point to come back? That he has to come back.
Just going back, I think he physically, I've been sort of saying for the last few weeks, he looks a little frumpier and a little bit different. He got back in shape for this match and looked great. So I just don't like when he wears those big pants, the big cargo pants. I don't like those. I don't think his presentation week to week is very good. I think in these big moments, he looks great and looks like a star. But week to week,
That may mean you just don't like the way he's like dressing week to week when he's not on television.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, when he's not wrestling, when he's cutting promos.
I don't like his presentation week to week. I think they need to improve that, especially if he's going to win the title at a certain point.
Wait, did you say don't like the presentation? Did we mention? Let me go Chandler Bing for a second. Did we mention what Kyle O'Reilly was wearing? I mean, can you imagine?
Did I miss that?
Kyle O'Reilly comes back to join the Undisputed situation.
I missed that match.
Undisputed Kingdom. And by the way, he didn't join, I guess. In the end, he sort of like said, hey, I'm good, and walked away. But Kyle O'Reilly comes and he comes back to Roderick Strong, and he has this little moment. Dip, if he were to do the idea of someone coming back in my WWE brain and wearing like a pair of shitty cargo shorts and a t-shirt.
Let me look.
Do you have to? SGG, have you seen a picture of it?
I can grab a picture for it.
Please, both of you, look at it. He looks like he went to the amusement park with his family. And I get it. It's a run-in. He's coming from the crowd. But it was still completely unpresentable.
I feel like that's how he dresses too, though. That's the craziest part.
I like the long
hair.
You know, he looked fine. It just was like, dude, you knew you were going to be on TV tonight. You got to wear something a little bad at. How about just like black pants and a black t-shirt? Anything better than that.
I blame Tony Khan for that. He let him run out there wearing that. It's ridiculous.
It goes back to the good and the bad we just spoke about. It's great that people can choose what they're going to do and have more flexibility. But then in moments like that, you go, how is there not someone going, dude, wear something on TV. Look like
this
somebody.
This is a TV show.
Yeah. It's a TV show. You're a star. You're supposed to look like a guy. Anyways, no Swerve Strickland, I should say, is champion now. I do think one day he comes back and gets himself a big old bag to be in WWE, because I don't think there's not a Swerve Strickland on the roster in WWE.
What do you mean by that?
I just don't think that his character... style, he's an interesting hybrid superstar. Like I just think Swerve, I don't know, man, he stands out to me. He really is a standout superstar to me right now. I don't remember even what the issues were when he left, but
I think he just got caught up in like a hit row mass release.
Yeah, and with all due respect, I don't know that the rest of the row is gonna make it back.
Well, B-Fab is in Bobby Lashley's faction.
B-Fab
and Shanti
is back,
the Adonis.
Baby.
B-Fab never left. Well, she was.
He's going to team with Cedric Alexander.
Gone from TV.
Dollar's gone.
So Top Dollar's the only one who's gone right now?
Yeah, Top Dollar and Swerve. But I think B-Fab and Shanti are going to be.
Isn't Top Dollar in TNA?
He just signed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Top Dollar's back. So I don't know if it will ever be back as Hit Row. I don't think we'll see a resurgence of that, but I do think Swerve will find his way there. So then you get to the Sting match, which I did. I loved the produced open Sting watching the highlights sitting in the movie theater. Thought it was really, really cool. My one complaint about the match, and I know some may disagree, my one complaint, I didn't need the kids dressed up as the former Stings.
Come on. They stayed a little too long.
It was too long.
Yeah. I liked it, but then, like, you know, I'm not going to body shame a kid that's not a professional wrestler, but I will say I wish he was in better shape.
Fine. He looked fine.
They were fine to greet their dad on the ramp and then walk down. But then the first 5 minutes of the match, they just got in the ring and started hitting splashes with Sting. I'm like, what is going on here? Is this a wrestling match? What the hell is happening?
We said the same thing. We're like, okay, go back. It's time to go.
Yeah. That's when I got a little worried. I'm like, where is this thing going?
I kind of wanted to hear the Sting theme from, you know, the 88 to 93 Sting theme. Dun, 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 dun.
I wouldn't have had a particular pop for that particular Sting theme. You know, I don't have a Sting theme in my head that I would pop for. But
the original Sting theme is the theme. Okay? Sowie.
End of story. But then when all was said and done, it landed, and it was a nice match. And I'm going to throw out a very rare Young Bucks compliment. Since I hate the Young Bucks, I love this version of the Young Bucks. I thought their outfits were repug, hateable, like, this is who they are to me. I find them so annoying and unworthy of acting like big shots that them as heel, like the EVPs, I like it. This is where they should be. I'm here for it. So I at some point I was like, wait, how are we actually gonna get out of this match? I thought for a second they might actually win. And then of course we get the spot of all spots. It was very funny because Dave Easton was over and he gets up to go to the bathroom literally as Darby is like making his way to the ladder.
Yeah, why would he do that? That's just the epitome of poor time. There's certain people, when you see them even 3 feet away from a ladder, you stay where you are. Darby's one of them. Jeff Hardy's one of them.
He came back. When Easton came back, I was like, I don't want to overstate this, dude. That was one of the worst timed bathroom trips of all time. So we were wound. And obviously, at this point, you've probably seen it. I even put it up on my Instagram page. Darby Allin from the top of the ladder in the ring out to a glass pane and through it. The second he went through it, guys, and like the blood started pooling on his left shoulder. It was.
I mean, what do you think? I mean, I have to know what type of material that was.
I think it would be glass.
Glass is what it's called.
It's going to be, it'd be a glass material.
Yeah.
Okay, but like,
keep going. Ask again.
What type of glass? Like, I'd like to hold that. I mean, clearly it's heavy because they were having trouble moving it.
Yeah,
around.
I think it was just a glass pane. Now, I think is it gimmicked? Yeah, it may be gimmicked where it's already, there's like a crack in it and you know it's going to break. Although remember,
I mean, I don't think they needed to put a crack in it though. I think
Darby
being 95 pounds soaking wet, the force of his weight was going to break that glass.
Although, hold on. Do you remember earlier in the match when maybe the one real botchola of that match was when Sting went to try to with the bat and he missed and hit the glass and it didn't break, so he hit it again? Yeah, okay. Did you catch that? Fair. I mean, so Dip, he literally had to hit it twice with a bat to break it. So Dip, I think that was just kind of a glass pane. I mean,
that is unthinkable that he did that. It's insane.
And so
but then Sting went through it too, but not in that way. So it's like,
There are people complaining about it. To me,
complaining
it's all
about
the, oh yeah, there are people who are like disgusted and it's so stupid and it's so.
What are you talking about? I mean, okay, if kids are watching or whatever, fine.
Stupid. I do think it was stupid, but I'm willing to make an exception for.
Exactly.
Sting's last match.
But that's the whole thing. That is the whole thing. If you do that on a random Dynamite,
which
shame
he might
on you. No, and Darby might want to. But if you did, that would be stupid. But in this case, that spot sort of made the match. And like, he really did, when you think about it, sacrifice himself for Sting in this spot. It was like, I'm going to do this crazy risky thing and it's going to be worth it because it's going to make tonight utterly memorable. And it was hands down the most memorable part of the match.
But what's crazy, but see, that's what's sort of crazy about it too, right? Is like, A, Sting's career, he's not known for like those crazy type of stunts. So just pulling that out as a tribute to Sting doesn't make the most sense, but it is Darby. But then the other thing too, like you said, the Darby going through the glass spot is the most memorable part of the match. That's supposed to be the send off to Sting. So I could understand why people are going to feel a way about it. But again, I'm willing to make an exception for Sting's last match.
Yeah, I think Sting seemed happy with it. Now here's a question. Would it have been better if it had been a coffin drop?
Did he just still go through the glass and all of that?
Yeah, yeah. Exact same thing, but he just goes. I mean, I don't know. It's probably more dangerous. He probably had more control doing it the way he did than he would for a coffin drop. It would be my guess. Either way, it was wild. It was a really fun match.
It's deathmatch stuff, you know? It's like, this is what he does.
So I have a question for both of you, though, now.
Okay.
Like, the Sting's match was great. I loved the intro. I hated how they weren't able to use most of the footage of Sting's greatest moments because of, you know, WWE owns the footage, obviously. Is it sort of time for AEW to start making nice with WWE, at least from a business perspective, so they can start to license some of this footage? Because presumably, Adam Copeland's going to retire there. Bryan Danielson's going to retire there. And then you would want to make use of some of these moments that are like major milestones in their career and be able to license some of that footage.
Well, didn't they show? But they were showing WCW footage, no?
No, they had like photographs from people who owned like the photographs. So like photographs that were in like magazines. And they had a lot of New Japan footage from Sting's time in Japan, but it wasn't, you know, no WCW, no WWE, no TNA.
I don't know what, I would assume that they'd be able to do that. Like, I can't imagine WWE would be problematic about that. I would think that would be doable. I mean, Cole shouted out Sting's retirement on Monday. Like, you know, it seemed like that would surprise me if they wouldn't be amenable to doing it. I will say that Bryan Danielson's not going to retire there though. That can't happen.
Well, he's certainly going to get like an AEW farewell thing, right? Right? Cause you can't just let them walk out the door. You got to give them your sort of farewell tour and then let them, like they did it. We did it with Ric Flair, you know, Edge got the farewell treatment on SmackDown.
Well, Edge is already in the Hall of Fame in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So it can end for Edge there. That would be fine. Danielson's not in the Hall of Fame yet. So the Danielson wrestling story ends at the WWE Hall of Fame. Like that is what's happening. So I wouldn't think that one, but to your point, yeah, I don't know what the process is or where that stands, but I would think WWE would not really care. I don't think WWE even feels remotely threatened by anything AEW at this point and would basically be like open to it, but I could be wrong. Who knows? I don't
know. Meltzer reported that AEW didn't ask, which is why I posed the question.
Interesting. Like,
should they at least have tried to get some footage?
I don't think
it necessarily hurt it, but it would have been nice to see some of those major moments.
Yeah, but you know, again, TK makes that worse because he likes to say he likes to wait for moments and then try to pile on WWE and make moments on social media. Like if anything, Tony, and listen, as someone who is known to get involved with a dumb kerfuff on social media, I'm not going to sit here and judge the guy as a person, but we can't lie. Tony likes to jump on the internet and talk crazy and make this thing spicier than it has to be, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it is fun, but when you only have 40 eyeballs or like 40 followers, then it's great fun. When you have like hundreds of thousands of followers, then
yeah. And you're like in a really important position. It's a bit much. All right. So shout out to Sting. Happy trails to the Stinger. What an awesome run. There'll be more Sting to talk about and kind of break down as time goes on with how great his career was. The great thing about wrestling is it never ends. We'll be talking about random matches with Sting and Ric Flair from 1988 forever. But it was a big week when it comes to The Rock.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
It was a big week when it comes to The Rock, who cut a 21-minute promo on Instagram. And just in case you thought that was enough, he then opened SmackDown with a 40-minute seg one, basically three segments of The Rock. It culminates with The Rock seemingly and officially acknowledging Roman Reigns. It was to me.
Oh yeah, he did it. He acknowledged our tribal chief.
That was the beginning of the turn, the acknowledgments.
So the would you call it a begrudging acknowledgement, or because he didn't begrudge?
He didn't begrudge at all.
I wouldn't call it a begrudge.
I gotta tell you, it was
a willing acknowledgement of the tribal chief.
I really enjoyed Roman Reigns grabbing his hand before the mic went up. I thought
the ish was about to hit the fan in that moment. I was prepared for like a full on implosion.
You thought they were going to go immediate implosion?
It's just because who has ever done that to The Rock? Nobody. And
I have a drop to sum up how SGG feels when he watches wrestling.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Even in the arena, though, like, did you hear the collective gasp from the audience and, like, the when Roman put his hand?
Well, once they could see on the big screen kind of what happened, right? It was probably a little unclear. And then once you looked, you're like, oh, my gosh, wow. No, it was awesome. And it was the perfect timing. Because, Dipperstein, I don't know how you feel. I was getting to the point of now we're 30 minutes into another Rock promo with the Bloodline standing there. And it's now a combined like 45 minutes they've been in the ring together. And Paul Heyman's the only one who's ever talked. Roman has never talked really while The Rock is there. And I'm like, this is starting to feel like he's not the head of the table. Like, he's got to do something. He can't just sit there and have The Rock in his ring over and over again. And we're supposed to still believe he's the head of the table. So the timing was just right for him to be like, hold on now. You're going to need to go ahead and acknowledge me. That was even beyond their story, just for my own realism purposes. I was like, I need him to talk. All right. You're the goddamn head of the table and you're going to let this old man who was once great. Maybe he'll be great again. We don't know, but he's going to have to acknowledge the tribal chief. And he did. And to Dip's point, yeah, you could now see the future. You're like, oh, wow. So here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's acknowledging for now. How long could he continue to acknowledge?
But isn't the most tempting thing here? You start fantasy booking about the idea of The Rock being around. And the reason it's so great, besides him just being very entertaining, is the things it allows to happen. Because he's so good and so popular. Do you know how mage it would be if you assume it's going to end up being Roman turns on The Rock? He's had enough. He feels threatened. And Rock goes back to babyface Rock and Roman is Roman. But if they went the other way and it allowed Roman to become a babyface against heel Rock, that would be amazing, dude.
I think that's where we're headed.
You think they're going to run with Rock being a heel? That would be so great if he would be. That just means he has to be willing to be a heel through basically to SummerSlam. And we could get babyface Roman versus heel Rock at SummerSlam.
Nah, I take it back.
On where it is.
What did you say, SGG?
That depends on where SummerSlam is, right? Because
what do you mean, where it is?
Well, they wanted to do this match at WrestleMania, which means they want to probably do it in a stadium on like a massive stage. So if SummerSlam is like, you know.
We know where it is, don't we? It's fully out, isn't it?
Is it out?
I don't want to speak. Oh, it looks like it's a rumor. I thought it was done. Let me not speak.
I thought it's in Cleveland.
Oh, you know what? I'm lying. Sorry. I lie. I was thinking about Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah.
So SummerSlam rumors are Cleveland. I do not know the answer to that then. So I apologize.
Where do we get the Money in the Bank cash?
Oh, and they're saying stadium. They're saying stadium, Dip. SGG, the rumor is the Cleveland Browns stadium.
Hey, stadium's good enough for this match 3rd. Then it could be SummerSlam.
Let me predict something. Okay. You're going to get Damian Priest. The reason why they're doing this, they have a bunch of mid-card guys in this gauntlet match. Sorry for my son is really crazy today.
No, it's your halo.
Good. I need somebody to watch over me. The gauntlet match on Monday, next Monday, is really a bunch of non-deserving people for Gunther's title, maybe except Sami Zayn. But let's face it, like they've given Sami Zayn a couple of wins, but and he may win that match and face Gunther at WrestleMania for the IC title. But you are getting a Damian Priest cash in and win, in my opinion, when Gunther beats Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. I think Damian Priest will walk out of WrestleMania as the IC champion. What are your thoughts?
You're saying Damian Priest is walking out of the Mania IC champ.
Yes, I do. That's what I'm saying. That's what I think.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
I could.
Gunther's title reign ends in a schmaz cash-in situation.
But let me ask you this then. What do you think that does? So obviously it elevates the Intercontinental Championship even more. But what does that do for the briefcase and Damian Priest in that he doesn't go for Seth or Roman?
Damian Priest is nowhere near the championship situation right now. Nowhere near. He is the farthest Money in the Bank holder from the world champion picture.
Ever. I mean,
we'd have to go.
We'd have to look at that list. Very far down the
Damian
card.
Sandow was, I think, lower than.
Yeah, I mean, Otis okay, briefly right. had it.
All right, but he yeah, is
Otis very, had it, and there was not even a chance. Although very, when Otis threw it in the lunchbox, though, I thought that was pretty incredible.
Yeah,
I hear what you're saying. Otis. He's so far removed from it that
from
it doesn't
Seth
matter.
Seth and Cody and The Rock and Roman. I mean, come on, he's nowhere near these people. Drew,
but you
got
to think
close.
About this too, right? Like. The way WrestleMania is being set up to take it back to The Rock and Roman and the thing we didn't mention from that promo, is The Rock challenged Cody and Seth to a tag match. I think Cody and Seth accepted the challenge. So now you have both champions are going to be working two matches that weekend. Cody, which is one of the challengers, also working two matches that weekend. You got a fresh Damian Priest. They're ripe for the picking, regardless of who ends up doing what at the end of any match. And that includes Roman. That includes Cody, especially if it ends up being a Bloodline rules match where anything goes, and then he can come out and set up a standard singles match after that, after everybody's just been wiped out. I wouldn't count him out of holding one of the big belts by the end of WrestleMania weekend.
It's an interesting thought. That is a very, very interesting thought. I was sitting there wondering last night, like, I was like, where are they going with Gunther? Is this going to end up being McAfee? Like, that's where I thought we were going for a minute with the McAfee standing on the table thing. I'm like, they keep having this back and forth. At some point, is it just going to be, let me tell you something though. I just want to say, it would be Mage if that is where they went and Gunther just destroyed McAfee at WrestleMania. Like he just, the fact is, McAfee is a commentator now. He's a regular commentator. He does not have to seem to be a viable threat against a monster superstar, but it would be a great crowd-crushing heel thing to do, wouldn't it? Just chop him all over the place and just beat him in the middle of the ring would be pretty big.
No, I don't want
to
see that.
It'll be basically what he did to Dominic Mysterio last night, because that's like he...
Well, the reason I asked a question, Dip, is because yesterday I'm going, once he beats Dominic in the middle of the ring, I was like, all right, so it's not going to be Dominic. Who's left on the table for it to be? Chad?
No.
Ricochet?
No.
Who else is involved in that picture?
Sami Zayn is in the match. I believe Shinsuke is in the match.
No.
Bronson Reed is in the match.
No.
Well, they have it set up. I would love Bronson Reed to be. By the way, congratulations going out to Bronson Reed, who had a daughter last week.
Oh, mazel tov.
Oh, wow. Congratulations, Bronson.
Shout out to the very mage Bronson Reed. A man, let me tell you something about Bronson Reed. The man loves hip hop and Curb Your Enthusiasm. In other words, he's a great guy.
He's one of us, confirmed.
Yeah, he is one of us 1,000%. But he's not, they haven't put him in that position. All the names you mentioned, Sammy's the only one. Unless, like you said, it ends up just being a big Judgment Day schmazzo rule. And then Damian wins. But I mean, what about Sammy winning the IC title at WrestleMania?
Yeah,
I
would love it. And then he was like gonna win the world title last year. And now, you know what I mean? Like he was in the title picture, and now he's like in the IC title.
Let me finish SGG's laugh.
He's not gonna win the world title.
Yeah, he was never gonna win the world title last year.
Or whatever, it was a year ago.
It was last year, but he was not going to win the world title. The Sami Zayn's
when he was having his world title
moment,
potential situation.
Sure.
No, it set up exactly what it was intended to set up, was that he went in there, he feuded with the Usos, he came away with the tag team championships, and now he's officially levels above where he was when he started with the Bloodline, which is, I think he was teetering on mid-card jobber level, and now he's like solidified. Anytime you want or need, he can be put in the main event. But I don't think he was ever going to get the world title.
My point was, it's like he was in the title picture against Roman Reigns last year, and everyone wanted him to win. He didn't win. Now he's being relegated to the IC title picture, and then like it wouldn't excite me to see him with the IC title. It's like,
but I wouldn't call it relegation though, because I mean, this is the IC title that people have said that Gunther has made more prestigious than the titles Seth even has right now. Like,
but it's, you know what I'm saying though? It takes him from the status that he was a year ago, which was against Roman Reigns in the main event of pay-per-views, to now all of a sudden he's in the IC title picture and he has that bit. Like, I don't know, maybe people forget what happened a year ago with Sami Zayn, but having him hold the IC belt over his head is just less meaningful than having him if he would have beat Roman Reigns, and everyone wanted that to happen. And so it's sort of just a letdown. That's my point.
I disagree, but I hear what you're saying.
He doesn't have momentum to beat Gunther. Okay. No one does.
No, there's a month though. There's a month.
And Sami Zayn's thing has been that he's been the underdog. So he really doesn't need...
He has a month to beat the Gunth.
He doesn't need months of momentum. He literally just needs that one night.
But you have a month with the Gunth. Where's Kevin Owens going to be at Mania?
Oh, he's probably going to end up hosting, honestly, right? Like,
why do you think that?
Because I don't see them having like a match.
What about could he be involved in Logan Randy or no?
Yeah,
he could, but I mean, yeah, I guess because they did have their moment on SmackDown, which I thought was interesting that these two guys who, you know, so much of their career has been about turning on their friends and you can't really trust them because they don't really trust anybody. Now they seem to be on the same page because of Logan Paul, of all people.
Can I switch gears for 1 second and go back to the Roman Cody stuff? We didn't talk about the stipulation and what we think is going to happen as far as the first match. The tag match will happen. And I'm sure we all agree on this, but Roman and Rock are going to win that match. And then it'll be, you know, bloodline rules and it'll make the Cody win feel even more mage.
That's what I would think.
Okay. All right. Okay. We're all in agreement
especially
on that.
Because like bloodline rules, anything goes. Roman got a lot of enemies. The bloodline has a lot of enemies. So if they're all allowed, all of Roman's enemies are also allowed to be in the ring and involved as well. So I think Cody wins either way. Either he gets Roman one-on-one or he gets set up an opportunity where he can form a bigger coalition than just him and Seth to go at the bloodline and bring them down. And it could possibly even include The Rock by WrestleMania Sunday. Who knows?
Guys, should we do a little
mail?
Just a few. Because we talked about wrestling for a long time today.
We think it's great. Oh, shout out to the Cheap Heat guy, the shirt behind McAfee.
Oh, Midge.
Excellent placement.
David says, hey guys, longtime listener, big fan from Canada, which technically makes me an international fan, Dip. Thanks for all the work you each do. One, Peter, your glasses rock. Stick with them. Two, I think the great things outweigh the bad by 1,000 to 1. So I try not to complain about WWE. There's one tiny thing they do that irks me, though. When there's a big announcement, often Hall of Fame, they start their articles with phrases like, as first reported by the Associated Press. I assume this is to try to make it look like mainstream media is reporting about them, but it's not like it's some crack journalist who's breaking a story. WWE tells them these things because, you know, it's WWE and it's all planned. It always strikes me as odd and overly phony. Your tease, Dave in Edmonton. I'm sure Dip, you have to have a thought on as reported by.
I think it's preposterous.
It's been a thing for a long time. The as reported by it, like it's a way to give someone the rub, and then that you know that makes people feel happy that they got the props. You know, and it looks good.
I find
good.
It funny now. I used to think the same thing.
Like, it's just part of it. I don't give it too much thought.
It's just hilarious.
Robert writes us and says, Rosenberg, I was listening to Cheap Heat Friday something and you watched my video, I think. I've been listening to the show for years and the whole Cheap Heat family has been nothing but awesome for me. Keep up the amazing work. I love my experience back then at Cheap Heat Live and I'm thinking about making a return to the one in Philly since I'm not that far away. Any teases for the people as we approach WrestleMania? New shirt? Or guests confirmed who the panel will be, blah, blah, blah. Love the show. Keep up the great work, Rob. I'm going to be honest with you.
Teasing merch?
I'm going to be honest with you guys. Well, the merch design is essentially done, although I don't think Dip ever sent Jonathan a picture.
I feel so terrible. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to have my assistant take the picture.
Hopefully he already moved on. I sent him a few pictures of you yesterday.
I totally forgot. I keep forgetting.
But if you could just literally have someone take a profile.
I'm going to do it right after we finish. I totally forgot to do it.
So I will tell you, the t-shirt design is mage. Yeah. I have to get on the printing portion of it like immediately. So we need to wrap this up like today because we have a month. So I got to get the printing done.
Well, did you see the art yet? I mean, is it?
Yeah, I've seen the art. You haven't seen the art?
No.
Didn't I send?
We've seen the concept art. I don't think we've seen the art of us.
Oh, I just sent you the concept art. But Dip, did you pay attention when I sent the concept art? You've seen the concept art.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen the would-be. It's a beautiful, beautiful garment is what it is. And it's cool because it's specific. It's date specific. It's like concert merch. It is
date specific.
It is. It has the date on it. It's like, it's specific to the live show. So we have only done that one other time ever for the Heat and Greet shirt, which I don't even think I have one. I don't know where.
One from New Orleans?
I don't think I have it. Do you have it?
I do.
And Dip, Dip has it. He wears it sometimes.
I think Ted might even have one from New Orleans.
I gotta look. I have to have one. I know I had one at the time. Maybe it's in my storage, but that worries me because that one has the ESPN logo on it, which is pretty mage. That was an official ESPN garment. God, I hope I have one. That would be so frustrating. Anyways, so yes, there'll be merch. Yes, there will be guests. I am working on it. My number one goal is to not announce the guests because to me, the fun is everyone's just showing up regardless. And you know how we feel about surprises on this show. So I don't want to announce the guests. I want the guests to hit.
I don't even be knowing the guests. I find out the guests the day of when I see them.
My hope is to not confirm with anyone who the guests are. That's always how I like to have it feel. I want it to be a moment in time. So we'll see. Let's see. Brian writes us and says,
mail.
He threw out the idea. I'm not going to read the whole email, but he throws out the idea of Jason Kelce as a possible host at WrestleMania 40. I've heard many people mention the idea of Jason Kelce being involved in Mania 40.
Why?
Because he just retired and he was an Eagle and he's so popular right now and he's got a big personality and he's a good talker.
Cool. He ran around with that lucha mask and a title.
Yeah. Right. I could totally see it and it would be cool. He'd do a great job with it. I have to admit at this moment in time, I'm like a little bit Kelce'd out. I'm a little bit Kelce'd out at this moment.
I don't know if you're Kelce'd out or if you just chose your Kelce. Let's be honest.
No, I don't have a Kelce.
You're big on Lorvis.
No, I'm not a Lorvis guy. I don't have, I need a break from all. I need a break from Travis, Mom, Jay. Like there aren't this many families that I know, like that I'm hearing about this often, all the time. But if I could just not mention them for 3 weeks, then I could pop for a Jason Kelce appearance. I think we will get some. All right, quick more. Pete, Dip, and Stat, I confidently speak for all Packerheads when I say the sound drops are an iconic component of Cheap Heat. A personal favorite is still real to me, damn it. Well, I have unearthed another gem of Terry Funk drop. The drop in question is from the 1981 Empty Arena match between Funk and Lawler. Despite the gritty Empty Arena setting, Jerry makes his entrance in full king attire with his illustrious robe and crown. Incensed by his opponent's outlandish appearance, the Funker can be heard off screen exclaiming the following. Oh, and here it is. Let's see if you guys... I just want to make sure you guys are able to hear. Hopefully you can hear this. Let's see.
Look at that fool. Look at that idiot. Don't you realize that there's nobody here? You jackass.
Did you guys hear that or no?
No.
Well, the listeners did. Don't worry. No, that's not bad. Look at this fool. Look at this idiot. That was pretty good.
Look at that fool. Look at that idiot.
There could be something there. Shouts to the late, great Terry Funk. Jake sends us an email saying that he believes Cody and Seth must lose on night one. I think we already said we agree about that, whether it's with Rock distraction or not. Robert Carrington writes us about Chelce Green, saying that, what's up, guys? My wife and I were at Raw in Anaheim, and Chelce was over like Rover. Got me thinking she'd be the perfect superstar to get over a new mid-card title for the women's roster just in time for Mania. I will say this. There's something going on with Chelce. I would love for it to be taken advantage of the right way. I don't know if it means she needs to be like part of a stable that she's leading. I'm not sure what it would be, but I do agree that Chelsea's mage.
Agreed. I'm into it.
Yeah, I agree.
Since the beginning.
The part about a new
fan.
Mid-card women's title that they're going to rush to get.
Yeah, before Mania.
Heat in time for Mania is absurd.
In time, if they were to do a mid-card title for the women, which I think they should, I do think that would be, she's the perfect example of the kind of talent where world title, it's hard to sell for her, but mid-card title, absolutely. That is a good point.
In time for Mania?
No. I'm removing that part. That's it's a month away. That's a quick story to tell. I don't think we need that. Real quick, last one we'll get to today, and we'll get to more on Friday. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com. Seeds of Seth's heel turn. I don't know what this guy's name is. He didn't include his name. But Jay says, what's up, guys? Big team Cody guy over here. But ever since I heard the idea of Seth costing Cody the title at Mania, I've sadly convinced myself that that will be the outcome. This has put me on high alert of Seth's mannerisms when he's around Cody. I could be looking way too deep into this, but at the end of the Cody and Seth promo, when Cody is talking to the camera, Seth is purposefully framed over his shoulder, staring rather coldly at Cody, and changes his demeanor to pumped and excited only when Cody looks at him. Could be nothing, but with how WWE is using the smallest details to tell their stories these days, I'm not ruling out the possibility that this could be something. What are your teas?
This is my favorite type of email, my favorite type of the I've convinced myself, so everything is a clue.
I love it.
Yeah. I didn't see any of that, anything that the listener brought his attention, our attention to, but I just love that level of like being hooked on a story. And even if it doesn't end up being that, I just love that level of engagement.
Yeah, that is exactly what I'm here for. And that's what like good stories have you doing, is like really, really diving in and caring. I don't know how people felt about Diarrhea Dwayne last night.
No, I don't think it's going to stick.
Didn't seem to. It almost seemed like intentionally bad. It got like panned pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that was the point to show The Rock that like the clown emoji and like the little jabs that he's taking at Seth are not hitting. So he just with something that's also.
He could have used the diarrhea thing to get the crowd to just chant diarrhea, but you don't need the Dwayne part. You could have just said every time he talks, you know what it's like. And you know, if he wanted to go that way, that's fine. But like, it's not going to work as a nickname. I don't think.
No, it's not going to stick.
I'm not buying a Diarrhea Dwayne shirt. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
Imagine that design.
It's a lot. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com or see us in the Discord. This has been a lot of fun, guys. We'll see you on Friday. Do us a favor and stay mage.
Take it easy, mate.
I would like to introduce in the corner to my left
the majesty.
Sweet, sweet Peter Rosenberg.
And then I went to makeup and like sat in front of the mirror a little bit and got myself together.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to introduce
shout out
Scott Guy Gray. Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Midge.